And of course, a great sense of humor.
Oh, yes.
That is there.
Yes, it's a cycle, we might mention a cycle for baritone, and one that certainly could be revived with some profit.
Oh, I think they are marvelous songs.
The year 1929 witnesses a major breakthrough in the composition of a large dramatic work entitled Pierrot in der Flasche. And maybe, again, to get into this piece, we might talk a little bit about the figure of the Pierrot in general at that time.
Well, I think it wasn't so much Eric that looked for the Pierrot, but he was always looking for texts.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this Mr. Kestranek, who was the singing teacher of his brothers.
I see.
And therefore also knew Eric quite intimately and knew of his need and was dabbling in literature, decided to make a text for Eric.
I see.
And he read Meyrink, who was very, very popular poet at that time, and who also had this sense of the scurrilous and the absurd, and that we find in Morgenstern. Only he wrote prose.
In prose, yes.
Yeah. And so he chose that particular little novelette.
Mm-hmm.
And it
this was
dealt.
Called The Man in the in the Bottle.
Yeah. I have I read it sometimes and I have again forgotten if the person in the novelette is also a Pierrot, but I forgot it.
He's in the costume of a Pierrot.
He's in the costume
yes.
of a Pierrot.
He's a prince who's been dallying with the Sultan's wife.
Right.
And
I see.
So he's in a
Pierrot costume.
Right.
So this was more or less incidental, and Eric would have, if it were not a Pierrot, he would also have. What I think is interesting and special to Eric is that this ballet contains a song.
Mm-hmm,
because
the
Pierrot or the lover, whatever you would call this figure, comes with a serenade. And the serenade is really one of the best pieces of the ballet.
Yeah,
that song.
So perhaps it is almost a sense of frustration in not having an operatic text.
Yes.
And perhaps another thing we can point out in relation to this point is that the original score, which you and I have studied, has an amazingly complete and detailed libretto, which more so than I had seen in a ballet. This also seems like an opera.
Yeah. It was interesting that piece, when it was played over the radio, the conductor was a man by the name of Karl Alwin, who was a conductor of the Viennese State Opera and a very fine musician and a friend of Richard Strauss. And Richard Strauss had often played his compositions, he told us, and he had hearkened to what he would say about it and sometimes change even. When Cabasta, who was the director of the radio, gave him this piece to play, he called Cabasta and said he didn't want to play it because he didn't know Eric's name, and he, being a famous conductor, wasn't going to play it. Think of an unknown. And it was to Cabasta's merit that he said, just look at the score before you turn it down. And he then looked at the score, and this is what he told Eric, all this thing, you know. And he was just amazed and conducted it and loved it. You know? And he saw very, very great things of Eric. And, you know, my mother, I have never mentioned that Eric always had somebody who was against him. And in the picture of me and Eric, it was my mother. She didn't want to hear about this thing at all. And she... you know, like the grandmother had said, he lives in this delusion.
Yes.
And I told her that he had a performance, he would say, that's what he tells you, or something. She wouldn't even believe it. Or, you know, she was this negative figure that always appears in his life. And we were in St. Wolfgang, in Salzkammergut, and Eric came there, and we met Alwin, you know. And my mother was there, too. And he put his hand on his shoulder and he said, this will be a great man. No? Mm. And